power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. So His will is that I walk in that anointing. His will is that I say to sickness, be gone. His will is that I say to the brokenhearted, rise up. His will is that I find the blind and say, you've got sight. That's His will. That's His will for me. That's His will for you. So awesome that He just says, go out and do it. You've got power. You've got authority. I've given it to you because that's my will. And we have that same power, that same authority, and that's God's will for our life. But so many times we find ourselves just bound by what this world would have you believe or would have you think. Bound in the fact that this church has no power. That the modern day church is lacking. That we don't have anything real. That we can offer a friendly pat on the back and we can offer a cup of coffee and we can say, I'll be your friend and I'll text you when you're feeling down or when you need help, I'll be there. That's what this world says the church is for. A support group. But God says, my will is that we change this world. Not just by a hand clap or a pat on the back, but because there are eyes that are opened and lives that are changed. That's His will. And when we ask anything according to His will, we got it. That petition doesn't fall on deaf ears. This isn't some Old Testament king. Some Old Testament king we read about in the book of Esther. Where Esther finds herself fighting for her people. And the Bible tells us that she is so afraid to approach the king. So afraid to go into his presence. Esther 4:11 tells us, and the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces did know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out his golden scepter, that he may live. And Esther says, but I've not been called to the king's court. I've not been called to this inner place where I can have fellowship with the king. In 30 days, he's not called me. And so there's fear. Because what she's getting ready to do is go and petition the king. Not knowing that, is it his will? Is he going to allow me to be there or is he going to cast me out? But we don't serve a king that way. We serve a king that likes to be interrupted. It's all right to interrupt the master. He's not too busy for my need or for my prayer. He's not too busy to hear what I have to say. But I can walk into that courtroom full of praise, full of power and authority, knowing that my petition, my prayer will be answered. You can disrupt the master. You can interject. The Bible's full of it. And I'm going to explain it, just in case you don't believe me. For those of you that say, I don't think I can come to an altar because I'm concerned about what someone else will say. I don't think I can get in contact with God because I've done too much. Or He's just not loving me as much as He should. The Bible tells us time and time again, Matthew chapter 19, that Jesus, here He is, in scholarly debate with the Pharisees, talking about, should a man divorce his wife? Should the woman have the right to do it? And this debate that's going back and forth, obviously it's important. He's trying to change hearts and minds, teach and preach the Pharisees, try to do His will. But Matthew 19, verse 13 says, as He's teaching, someone brought a bunch of children to Him and said, hey, can you pray for them? And the disciples looked at him and said, get these kids out of here. Don't disrupt my master when he's teaching. Don't disrupt the Christ. And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, suffer them. You deal with it, or in other words, because I came for them. And the Bible says he laid hands on him and he prays him and he's done debating. The Bible says he gets up and leaves. Don't tell me that God doesn't mind being interrupted. Don't tell me that you can't say, Lord, I need you. And he's not going to stop whatever it is he's doing to hear your prayer. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 2, Jesus is preaching to the crowd and he's in a house. And everyone is gathered together and there's no room in that house. And he's teaching and he's explaining the gospel and he's working with people, ministering. And all of a sudden, the roof begins to cave in. As people tear it off so that they can get someone who needs healing to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, hey, what are you doing up there on that roof? Stop it. This isn't even my house. He says, rip it open. Bring him down here. There's not been faith like this before. My God is willing to be interrupted. Don't be afraid to step into his presence. Don't be concerned about what other people are going to think. That wasn't their house. If somebody came tearing the roof off my house, we'd have problems. But not when we understand that God is not too busy or is not concerned with my need. But rather he is waiting, saying, I'm teaching here. I'm here for a reason. I'm waiting for these four guys to come ripping this roof off and say, heal him. That's why he's there. That's his will. To heal. To set the captive free. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, Jesus is asleep in a boat. And a storm begins to rise and the disciples fear for their lives. And they go running down and they wake up Jesus. I don't want to be woke up when I'm sleeping. Jesus, on the other hand, wakes up and says, all right, peace. Peace, water stops, waves stops, wind stops. My God does not mind to be interrupted. My God is not concerned about my human time frame or what's happening after church or what I feel or anything. He's not concerned about this human part of us. What he wants is someone that's bold enough to step into the throne room and say, you may not have invited me here, but I came to get something from you. I came because I need a miracle. I came because my family needs healing. I came because I need change. That's what God is looking for. Someone bold enough to step in and say, I need you. No matter what anybody else thinks, no matter what anybody else says, I need you. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. Jesus is walking in a crowd. Man comes, falls on his knees and says, hey, my daughter is sick. I need you to come and heal her. Jesus says, all right, this is what I'm here to do. Let's go. And the Bible says as he's walking, the crowd has thronged him. They're pressing all against him. And a woman reaches out and touches the hem of a garment. He stops and says, wait, I know I'm supposed to heal your daughter. Somebody needs me back here. I came to heal everybody. I came to make sure everybody has what they need. That there's not some person that leaves this place and says, I really wish I would have gotten more of God. Stop! This woman needs me. Yes, this girl is dying. Yeah, she's dead. But stop. Let me take time for this person. Because that's what I'm here to do. Somebody else can come up to this altar, interceding, and God can be working here. And can you believe it or not that He can be over here working too? Amen. That He's not just limited to this half. But He's big enough, He's powerful enough, He's God enough to do more than one thing at one time. That He can stop and heal a woman who's been sick for 12 years, who's tried everything she could try to do, been to every doctor she's been to, everything and failed. He says, I'll stop and wait for you. Yeah, that girl's going to die. I'll take care of that later. Because I'm God and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Stop. You're healed. Oh, by the way, the daughter raised from the dead. Even if you're going to laugh at me. Even if you're going to say, well, Jesus, you should have got here sooner. Why would you stop for the woman that's alive? Because He's here for everybody. He's here for you. He's here for me. He's here for you. We've got to be bold. Bold to step in to that throne room. Bold to reach out and grab whatever it is that we need. Because it's His will. It's His will that we experience the fullness of Christ. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 35-39. Jesus has gone out and He's praying. That's important. That's important that we pray. Jesus setting that example. And His disciples come running up to Him and they say, hey, Jesus, everybody's been looking for you. He says, all right, I'm done praying. Let's go. Like, I gotta go heal. I gotta go preach. That's what I'm here to do. That's what it says. And He said unto them, let's go to the next town that I may preach there also. Therefore, I came forth. For that reason, or in other words, I came to preach this gospel. Yeah, I'm praying, but if people are needing me, I'm going to be up and moving, and I'm going to be working, and I'm going to be healing, and I'm going to be ministering in whatever way I possibly can. Right. He's not too busy for you. Right. He's not too concerned about anything else but you. Amen. You are His number one priority. And when you pray to Him, when you petition the King, He answers. And answers in ways that we don't even understand. Amen. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 10. Jesus is coming to the city of Jericho. He's going out. And the crowd is there and people are following Him. And a man that's sitting on the side begins to cry out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody around him says, hey, shut it. The Master's doing His thing right now. The Master's walking. Woo. That's what He's doing. Don't bother Him while He's walking. He may trip, whatever. But this man persists. Even though the crowd says, hey, be quiet. Don't disturb him. God says, please disturb me. I'm just walking here. I could be doing healing. I could be changing lives. I could be setting free the captive. Instead, I'm just walking. Is there anybody bold enough to stand up and say, Lord, I need You. I'm blind. I can't see my next move here, God. I need Your help. And of course He stops. Because that's what God does. So plain, so simple. He is here today for you. Whatever you need. Whatever you ask. My God is in the business of answering. My God is in the business of answering your prayer. Because He cares about you. The Bible tells us to cast all our cares on Him. Because he cares for you, me. Jesus came to this earth so he could bring us salvation and he could make this life better. Our end goal is heaven. That's salvation. Making heaven. He made a way for that. But in the meantime, he says, why should you be sick? While we're waiting for such a glorious event, why should you be depressed? Why should you have a horrible marriage? Why should you, whatever it is you need today? When my God is here, and if you petition him, there's no fear that he's not answering. There's no concern that he's going to turn his back on us. This isn't the Old Testament. He's a new kind of king. His time is not taken up by your little need. If you're concerned, well, it's just an affliction. I'll deal. It's just back pain. I just need a new mattress. Let me tell you, it doesn't help. It's still there. But my God, he's able. Do you believe that today? Are you bold enough today to say, I don't care what you think. I need God today. I don't care what Brother Dunn thinks. I need God today. Don't let people determine your relationship with God. Don't let the fear of looking like a fool determine your relationship with God. David's got to strip down and spit on himself. But he's not concerned because it's my relationship with God. It's weird, but it's mine and it's his. And I'm not concerned about your weird relationship with God. So if you'd stand with me, we're getting ready to see God move. We're getting ready to see God's power manifest in people's lives. But it's going to take some action on our part. Those people in the Bible that got to experience God's healing power, his love, that got to experience him as a father, as a friend. The Bible, as far as I can tell, one time, there's a man sitting by a pool. The Bible says he's been there a long time. And Jesus looks at him and takes pity. But when we look at the Gospels and we look at those people that received something from God, they weren't sitting by a wayside. That man, he got God's grace just because he's that good. Just because he says, I'm here to heal everybody. Even if when I ask you what you want, you're like, I don't even have anybody. That's why I've been sitting here 38 years or whatever. It's everybody else's fault. He says, all right, fine, I'll just heal you anyways. Even if you're not really wanting it. If you're wanting to just blame it on everybody else. That's the business that he's in. So it's going to take action. It's going to take boldness. Because that woman with the issue of blood doesn't get Jesus unless she pushes through. Jairus, he doesn't get his daughter healed unless he comes running. Esther doesn't even get her people free unless she says, all right, if it's death, it's death. But I've got to get to the king. I believe that there are people here today that have let time and time and time go by where you could have been living so much greater of a life than what you're living now just because of fear. Just because you are concerned about the way you will look. Just because you're concerned what people will think. But if you want change today, if you want God's power to come and interact with your soul, it may take some boldness on your part. It may take some action on your part. But I believe that that woman, as she begins to walk towards Jesus, the Bible says when she touched the hem of that garment, Jesus says, I feel virtue. Leave me. You just have to be that stinking close to get what God has. Just that. Just the hem. Just the hem. And that's all it takes. So you may not be that bold today. But if you could just grab a hem. If you could just come forward right now. If you're needing healing in your body, God will heal you today. I don't know if you realize this, but Easter, we're having a healing service. But I'm ready to start it now. If you are just tired of living life the way you've been living life, I want you to come forward in boldness, knowing that I'm stepping into the King of Kings court. And it's His will that I be different than the way I am right now. It's His will that I have restoration. It's His will that I be free. It's His will that I experience a newness of life. So if that's you today, you may need to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. You may need to reach for a hem. You may need to just come sprinting up to Jesus and fall. You may need that. Whatever it is you need to do to experience this changing, life-changing power of God, we have got to do it today. Because the presence of God is here. And He is saying, hey, I'm here for those that are willing. For those that are hungry for me. Those that are willing to seek after me. He's a prayer answering God. And He's here. Here to do a work in your life. But I believe He's just waiting right here. And when you leave where you're at and you step out, healing happens. Depression leaves. Personality changed. Whatever it is, character flaw, it's gone. Marriage restored. Pain gone. Sickness gone. Fear gone. Whatever it is, I'm standing in the presence of the Almighty God who just formed me out of dirt and breathed into my body. I think He can handle whatever problem I have. I think He can handle my finances. I think I can give Him my life because I think I know that He's going to take care of me. I believe that I've got faith in it because it's His will. His will that I experience His goodness. His will that I experience His mighty power. Thank you, Jesus. You're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy. God, I pray right now that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us. I pray, God, that You would open your windows of heaven and pour out on us, Lord Jesus, that there would be fire that falls from heaven here today and quenches up every ounce of fear, every ounce of depression, every ounce of sadness, every ounce of loss of hope or desire, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that that fire would consume us, make us new creatures, purify us as gold, Lord Jesus. I need you, Savior. I need your touch, Lord. I can't live this life without you, my God. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're my King. You're my Savior. Oh, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Thank you, God, for your restoration. Thank you for setting me free, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, my God is worthy. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. Oh, do you believe it today? Do you believe it today? Do you believe that He's a healer? Do you believe that He actually loves you? That He cares about you? Oh, my God is able. My God is worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll cast my cares on you, Jesus. Oh, I know you care for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.